Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Let's start reading there. The Word of God says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things." Turn my page here. He says, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" That's a pretty good thing right there. "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." Okay, this morning what I want to do is just take back up there a little bit, up the page there. That word that shows up in verse, that word impenitent, and it's found there in verse number 5. He says, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart." And that's what I want to deal with this morning. I simply call this no excuse. Young people, no excuse. God knows if you're sitting here this morning and you're born by the grace of God and you really are born again, you're without excuse this morning. I'll even take it as far as to say you're without excuse no matter what kind of upbringing you had or didn't have. Amen? I mean, a lot of us can find excuses on why we do or don't serve God or why we do or don't read our Bible or whatever you want to fill in the blank. But the bottom line is God's grace is sufficient and you can live for God. I don't care what your surroundings are. Amen? But that word impenitent, here's what it means out of the 1828 dictionary. Not feeling shame or regret about one's actions or attitude. I'm going to read it again. Not feeling shame or regret about one's actions or attitude. That's accountability. God expects that word impenitent simply tells us if you can truck along and run people over, whether it be a bad attitude, whatever you were doing, and it not bother you, you've got a problem this morning. Amen. And you know that God wants us to keep our heart tender, soft, pliable, as the potter on the wheel wants to be able to mold us. Take your Bibles and look at chapter 1 of Titus. Turn over just a little bit. Titus chapter 1. Last two verses in Titus chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. And while you're turning there, I wrote this. When you repent, you regret or feel sorry about something you've done, it ought to bother us. Titus chapter 1, look at verse 15 and 16. "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled." The Bible says in verse 16, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate." Okay? That's not a good report card for us folks that are saved. Amen? An old-time preacher said this. I love to read church history. I'm a big-time student of old-time preachers all down through the 1415, John Bunyan era, all those people down through there. Here's what one of these guys said. And some of this stuff, you read it, we've been so dumbed down in America. I mean, God help us. Look at the stupid, hell, don't say that, Rob, with the young guy. I don't want to disrespect the office. But look at the yo-yo in the office. What an idiot with a capital I. He doesn't know his left hand from his right. I ain't going to get started. I'll ruin the whole message. This whole country, they didn't steal. When I used to steal things, I got away with it. Fall off the thing. They didn't steal nothing. They took it broad daylight. And our country sat down and let them happen. Include that sorry U.S. Supreme Court. Yeah, right. He'd be taking out back horse whipped. Right. All volunteers are with them. Amen. Right. I tell you what it is, they're all bought and paid for. They're all over and barren. They all got ties behind the scenes with money. Women. Why? Yeah. Go ahead and say amen. Right. Yeah. This country's ain't alive with sin. And they decide to tell God to take a high. Exactly what we deserve. Right. That Bible says when the time of coming to judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin to, what should begin then to obey not the gospel of God? You know the
all downhill straight to hell. It's real sad, amen.
We had our opportunity. I don't know if they're going to ever get it back. They ain't going to fix nothing. The only thing we're missing is a revolution. And I don't think most Americans got the guts to bleed to do that anymore. Amen. It's pretty much over. Amen. I hope it's not, and I pray that you're just going to God where you live at and your little deal and push it wide open and don't back it. Amen. This country's a mess, man. I get in trouble all the time. My wife says, you're eventually going back to jail because of your mouth. Amen. I'll take three hots and a cost and I'll preach to them in there because I'm not shutting up. Care if they like it or not. Amen. I cannot stand it. Anyhow, look at Isaiah. Here's what the old time preacher said. The impenitent have no promise of forgiveness and therefore cannot have faith. That's what an old time preacher said in the 1600s. Now think about that. What is it? You realize if you've got an impenitent heart this morning, you've already decided you're not sorry for anything you're doing to transgress against God, no matter how little or big it is. And it doesn't matter how little or big it is. Whatsoever not in faith is sin. That's what God said in this book. And so let's look at Isaiah. I'll read it to you. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 4. Because I knew that thou art an obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy bow is brass. God said they were obstinate. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 30. But Shion, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him. Why did he do that? For the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand as appeareth this day. You know the verse, Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, that book says, and shall suddenly be destroyed, that without remedy. Proverbs 6:15, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly, suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. That's the road you get on. There's several words here. Impenitent, all these verses we just read, I'll pull some of them out. Reprobate, obstinate, iron sinew, that's bone, you're just hardened up inside. You're not going to budge for nobody. A bow of brass, you're hardened without remedy. Impudent, that shows up in Proverbs 7, we'll get to that in a minute. Stiff neck, hard hearted. You say, I ain't like that, are we this morning? I mean, some of you youngins, I mean, you at the house and mom and daddy tells you to do something. How do you respond? With a good attitude right away? That's what you're supposed to do. That's what God wants out of you. On the smallest of things. Hey, son, take the trash out. Yes, ma'am, with a good heart. You say that's dumb. Well, you keep talking like that and you're getting to be have a family and get some responsibility, you'll be shipwrecked. If y'all cannot respond to the simplest of things, it starts with the little things. Despise not the small thing. That book says, take us. We always leave out those Baptist preachers. We're talking about the little boxes when we pull half the verse. It says, take us. We're the boxes running through the vines, tearing the grapes up. Us, we are the guilty part. And I'm telling you, it's a big deal, young people. It's a big deal. Big deal. You better stink and listen. Amen. You'll find out one day. Have it your way. Talking about an impenitent heart. 2 Chronicles 36:16. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people. Not the honky-tonks. His people. Till there was no remedy. Everything we've been reading and we're going to read this morning is an indictment against me, the preacher. God's people. And our relationship with God, because we got an impenitent heart. Proverbs 7:13, so she caught him and kissed him with an impudent face, said unto him, what's that mean? I'm glad you asked, amen. Shameless or brazenly immodest. You don't want me to get started there. This country's on a skitter today, straight to hell on how we dress today, God's people. Boy, it's a calf idol. I know Brother Jared said the same thing I'm going to say. I've talked to him. It's taboo. Don't touch it. We'll get these young men and button your shirt up. Left. I don't want to see the two chest hairs you got. I think you're fine, son. He's checking himself. Amen. We'll get these boys for driving their britches and say, amen, you shouldn't.
Unless God lays your shoes up, tuck your shirt in, look like a man.
Unless God
walk like a man, talk like a man. You go out and hit your head an oak tree, get a couple bruises, and don't go swallow the mama, get over it, get around and get you some of my blade, and pour it right into the wound over the future of things. Amen. But I mean, we've got the song. The preachers should eat these guys alive. And I say, amen. So we won't touch the women. See, it's already stopped. It's already goes. It doesn't get a big law. I ain't going to get into all that, but I'm telling you, better figure it out. This book's got much to say. You guys know, and I'm already getting off course. I try not to chase any rabbits, but God, Jesus Christ, but I say to you in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Country's full of that stuff.
Yes, sir.
Churches are the little town. I just came from New Mexico. I preached a revival out. You go so the next one out and out. You go out there every year, it's our 13th year. And I mean, it's a knockdown drag out. The meeting's built upon you. You know, coming in there, it's boot camp. And that's the meeting's like that on purpose. It's the old Baptist church out in Rio de Mexico. It's an all Spanish church. They all speak English. And I mean, they treat us like kings. He's one of my best friends, a preacher. He's been pastoring 13 years. But I'm telling you, it's everywhere you go. This country is ate up. And it's dragging young men down a road that's going to cost us a whole lot. It's wrecking homes, amen? It's no wonder it's so bad. But anyhow, shameless or brazenly immodest, insulting, this is the word impudent, impudent, rude, sassy, presumptuous, brazen. You ladies don't need any of those qualities in your life. You don't. God will not honor it and bless it. You ain't going to help your girls or boys trying to train them up being like that. You know what some of the related words that I found in the 1828 when you start chasing this rabbit down that hole? Errant, audacious, blatant, brassy, cool, cocky, flip, and modest. It's all from that 1828 dictionary. I loves doing word studies. It opens this book up. Paul said, I think it's in 1 Thessalonians 2, this call also thank you God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God which affectionately worketh also in you that what? Believe. The key to opening this book, it stays alive. It's breathing as I speak. It is alive. It's opening your mind. In order for it to open up and get a hold of us, you're putting your eyeballs in it and praying over it. Meditating, trying to preach it. Well, you understand, not who cares. God understands it. Forget it, man. You just need to get in this book.
Right.
If you don't got the answers, oh well. Keep digging, keep plowing, keep digging. That's the whole road. Down the road, God might show you. He's looking for you to believe this book. Believe it by faith, plus nothing, minus nothing.
Amen.
That's where the real Christians, where the rubber meets the road, the front lines of God's army. So many people, it's gotten so churchy. All we get's church on Sunday and it's my day Monday. Where's that in the Bible? There's all kinds of teachings flying amongst the independents and Baptists. Some of them are teaching you don't even got to repent no more.
After you're saved, it's doable. Them people been smoking some good marijuana, man. That stuff is out of hell, man. I'm telling you, it's wrong! It's destroying our church and people are acting like animals. We might as well be Catholics.
Amen.
They're doing the same stuff. We've been preaching to them for thousands of years. We're doing the same stuff.
Right.
That book says you're bought with a price, therefore glory to come in. It's not about to pray about. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, both inside and out, which are God's.
Right.
That thing in Titus 2 says those things become sound doctrine. Doctrine's truth. The whole chapter deals with how a woman and a man ought to behave themselves. From outward to inward. You can't separate doctrine from duty. It's impossible.
Come on.
You are what you eat.
That's right.
I know religious people can dress up and look nice and are full of demons, folks. I get that. But God's people that are really saved, it's supposed to come from the inside out.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
God does care how you act, talk, dress, and walk. It's all part of being a God's Christian. Amen. Being a soldier of Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 2:4 says, for they are and prudent children and stiff-necked. Ezekiel 3:7, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. Preacher, they're not going to listen to you because they don't listen to me. For all the house of Israel are in prudent and hard-hearted. Three quick examples and I'll be done. First of all, go to 1 Kings chapter 14. That was my introduction. 1 Kings chapter 14. Let's look at three different men, three different kings this morning, and see what God had to say about their heart and having an impenitent heart, a heart that doesn't regret when it gets down the road, goes sideways with God. And young people, I can't say it enough. And I know there's different situations. I get it. You all know my history. I had four stepfathers. I'm a product of a broken home. Guess what? I got over it a long time ago. I'm not making light of people's situations. We had that academy for 18 years. And now we're back in the prisons and juvenile centers. And actually, God's allowed us. We just got started. We just started to work from scratch. Can you believe that God's asked me to pastor? I know. Hold your breath. No way. I know. I said the same thing. Amen. But God, I ran from it for over 2 years. I've just been running and finally, anyhow, now it's like when you get saved, you look back and say, why didn't I get saved years ago? That was stupid. Well, same thing now. I was telling some of the men, I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's nothing like being in the center of the will of God. And so it's just wonderful stuff. But I'll maybe some more about that tonight. But 1 Kings chapter 14. Young people, what I was going to say was, is you're young right now. And I know you get this preaching because I know your pastor. I know he's wrote all those books. And I've tried to tick people off with them. I do my best. And part of my ministry is just to be a flea on the back of these people and just aggravate the stew out of them. Amen. I'm an agitator for the Independent Baptist because somebody needs to do it. And I don't mind it because I don't have a reputation to keep. I don't really care. But I'm telling you, man, they hate that stuff that nails it to the floor. They hate it. I put them books out all over the country. All over the country. And people just, I made it mandatory reading at our house. All my boys had to read all of that stuff and my girls. Amen. I've read them several times. I've stole everything out of those books. I've preached that stuff all over the place. Amen. God, it needs to be done. We're losing this thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's up here in Indiana. Folks are getting cold. They quit coming to church. They're what in the world's going on, man? What is wrong with us? We just don't love God no more. I don't get that, man. The further you go, the better it ought to get. Right. I mean, Brother Jerry's daddy that used to start this work, I hate to say it, but though that kind of shouldn't be so. He's an enemy of the church now if he was around. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They don't like that old school stuff. Right. They don't like those men that walk clean, talk clean, dress clean. Yeah, man! Yeah. On Monday and Tuesday, not Sunday and Wednesday. I talk about 7 days a week, 24/7. Right. I mean, the military, for God's sake, they own you when you sign up and say you'll defend the Constitution. Yeah, you do what they say, they tell you how to eat. Yep. That soldiers don't complain about that. But if God's people, what's a different deal with us? I have a free will. I know we do. We run as far as we can from what God wants us to do. We want just enough, a little splash enough on, a little bit of grace to put a smile on somebody's face. When really what matters is what did God say? 1 Kings chapter 14, look at King Jeroboam verse 1. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. That's his boy dying. And Jeroboam said to his wife, arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to the Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over the people. So they've already had a run-in with this preacher, this old-time prophet. And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey, and go, and he shall tell thee what shall become of the child. And Jeroboam's wife did so and arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house. It's pretty sad that he had to send his wife. I won't even get into all that. That's a whole other message. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask of thee a thing for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for she shall be, for it shall be when she cometh in, she shall feign herself to be another woman. And it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door that he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. For as much as I exalted thee from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to thee. And here it comes. And yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that which only was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. That's what America has done. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, and as a man taketh away dung till it be gone. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat. What a thing. What a way to end your life. And folks that were, notice there were people around Jeroboam that paid the price too. Y'all listening? You run with the dogs, you're going to catch the fleas. Amen. Listen, when I got saved in Keflavik, Iceland, April 7, 1991, when I ran into God head on, the Holy Ghost of God, the High Sheriff of Heaven arrested me that morning, that Sunday morning. And I saved forever, prayed the Romans Road and all that stuff. And I'm not against none of that stuff, so don't misunderstand me. But I didn't know what was going on, but I knew the subhead was what I had. And when I come up out of that pew while they were still preaching, I didn't know you spoke to them. I didn't go to church when I was growing up. We didn't know all the protocols and all that stuff. I just got up and ran to God.
Amen.
And on the way up there, things were taking place. I still went to cry out to God. Just as safe as I was. More safe than I was. And I'm telling you, when I met God, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. I was going somewhere that would turn 51. It may come back, it may not. Anyhow, let's move on. Maybe to come back around. I was thinking about King Jeroboam. I don't know where I was going with that. Okay, anyhow, it must not be important. So here we go. King Jeroboam, their son's dying. When we read on there, you know what happens? God tells him the minute she steps foot back in the city, he's gone. It's over. You done wrote your story, sir. You sent your wife, all this stuff, feigning to be another woman, all this stuff. They knew the man of God was going to hammer them. They knew that. And they chose anyhow to go down that road. And I'm telling you, God tells Jeroboam's wife that he didn't follow that verse 8 says, with the whole heart. Partial obedience. They picked and chose the smorgasbord of God's will when he knew what he should be doing. But yet from pressure, whatever you want to say, or folks around him, he chose to do and go the way he did, and it cost him his son's life. Would to God that we would be in God's eyes, obey with our whole heart. And it says in verse 10, he brings evil on the whole house of King Jeroboam. And folks around him paid, like I just said, cost a lot of people a lot of stuff. Amen. But I know what I was going to say. It just came back. When I got saved that day, went back to the marriage, you got to understand, I'm not going to get into all the stuff I was into. I was full of myself and all that kind of business. And just running wide open, school tired, being stupid, being wrong to somebody. But I went back and had, you U.S. military, they are men. I know they say they're not, but they are. Okay. I mean, I know there's, you know, they all these preachers hear this stuff and say, well, you're going to pull a car and you can sit and watch. I don't believe none of that stuff. They might have waffled for a little while. Those men, I went back, I had a choice in it. I'm talking right now. Because I had just left and went off, got off to go to church and missionary church. I come back saved. I'm talking about wide open saved. Come up in that marriage, they're drinking, carrying on, fun, cussing God. Open. And so that's what King Jeroboam should have done, but he didn't. And I know it mentions David there. You know, I know what David did. You see, David had a pliable heart in Psalm 51. David, you know what's crazy? God told David, if you would have asked,
about those verses? He already had six wives, that's correct. I could be awful with that, five or six. And then he goes all the chase of that sheep when he already had. Come on, man, what is wrong with us? Right. Teaches you about the flesh. Right. Better keep it in check. Better kill that thing every day. Yes, but I mean, God said, if you'd have just asked. And so David repented. He biblical repentance. But it cost him the rest of his life. Four youngins, he died with a curse on his life. Y'all listen?
Yes, sir.
It even says over in Proverbs about a man that is approaching that room. Doesn't say that about that woman got called up. God forgave her, she went on. But the man, that book says, you read over it, tell it never departs. And it never departs from David's house. So what I'm trying to say is David did the amount of life it cost him. I sure don't recommend a life like that. But David had a heart toward God. But that book says his heart, he obeyed in all his commandments. He had a flesh problem, and David went off the rails. But he got checked. He got the grace of faith. He humbled himself. He took the right position. He stepped out of the way. Not
right.
Not Jeroboam. And it cost him his family, his wife,
him, his kids. You read on. He ends up a destroyed mess. I'll tell you another king. I got to stop a quarter after. Is that right? Okay. 1 Kings chapter 11. Turn over there real quick. Here's King Solomon, David's son, that came out of that deal with Bathsheba in chapter 11 of Samuel. Look at 1 Kings chapter 11. Look what God says here. And this is what I was just talking about. The wisest man to ever live ain't too smart. I don't mean no disrespect to Solomon. The Bible's the Bible. And Solomon, I'm telling you now, look right here. But Solomon, look how this chapter starts. 1 Kings chapter 11. We're talking about an impenitent heart. Look what it says here. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Amorites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. None of those Gentiles are worth a hoot right there. You listening to me? That whole crowd, bad news. They sure don't love God. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart. Here it goes again, the thing that only God can see this morning, you young men's heart, your mind, your conscience, it's connected. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Listen, young men, God said, he reads on and he says, for sure they will turn away your heart after their God. Solomon clave unto these in love. Are you kidding me? And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Well, go figure. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what's going to happen there. You know, you read that book of Ecclesiastes. I call it the most worldly book in the King James Bible. Solomon wrote that thing. He was up in years. He wasn't in love with God. That's what I believe. There are all kinds of stuff in Ecclesiastes. Even buck wild. You read that book of Proverbs, that man's tender love of God. You cook in Song of Solomon, wonderful book. Clean as the undriven snow. And yet that man got older and got that impenitent heart. He got that heart where he didn't bother him no more. That definition, Solomon just got the role, got used to it, got callous, little by little. You know, you build houses up from working. It's a good thing. We first started out, you salt. You men shouldn't have salt pans. God knows it was American today. I even said they did. They did liquefully. I mean, these young boys, my God, they can't fight no more, can't wrestle, can't get a bloody nose. They're all homeless boys.
Right.
Little faggots.
You know, right.
I'm trying to be nice. I mean, I really get off the rails here.
Yeah, that would make for building
the prison. Look out. The whole other deal in the prison.
Right.
They love it, man. They go crazy. They do. They go nuts. But anyhow, I mean, America, anyhow, I don't want to get legal on problem. I mean, we got a role reversal going on. This country is by design. The devil's trying to make the men become women.
Come on.
Women become men. So I take that book, Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 18 and 19. That book's all cool. They're slowly making the men a feminine.
Yeah.
And you moms, God help you not to feminize your boys and dad. Let them get hurt.
Yes,
tell them to shut up, suck it up, get over. Don't let them whine, whip their tail, and say, we're done! Hush it up, boy.
Amen.
We're going for round two and three. Make this a 12-round fight if we have to. Better listen, I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over and over. God wants you to be a man on purpose.
He made you that way in Genesis, man. We're built different. We think different. We act different. We smell different. We walk different. We are different. Anybody that tells you otherwise, they're a liar. They're going to rot in the lowest hell. This government ours is full of that stuff. Sodomy and bestiality. All the stuff that's going on. All the isms and ites and that stupid LBG. They got every letter of the alphabet after them now. Bless God, run them over. Get a big bless God D9 and run them over. Tell them I said so. I don't care. Can't stand that stuff. It's killing our country. And it's coming in the churches. Look, I get it. We got family members that are messed up. But I ain't apologizing about it. I ain't making them feel comfortable. And I'm about to sit down and eat dinner with them.
Come on.
Amen. You're going to wreck your family.
Amen.
They need God. If they can find God. You figure out where that's at.
Unbelievable, this sin stuff that's going on. 1 Kings chapter 11. King Solomon, he says in verse 2, for surely, for the sake of time, verse 2 says, for surely they will turn away your heart. That's what he said about them women. Verse 4 says that his wives turned away his heart. Verse 4 says, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. It's right there in chapter 11, verse 4. Verse 6, and went not fully after the Lord. Not fully. F-U-L-L-Y. God wants everything all the time for a lifetime. You got to be a quick repenter. Keep a short account with God. Keep a soft heart. Don't get wild and start going. And these people will see it. Church, they'll notice you're distant. You want to get out of church quick. All those are signs of people got heart trouble. They're giving their love to something else. Music, wine, women, TV, computer, stupid cell phone. My goodness, man, it's killing this country. It's cell phones. Oh, my. I could preach a series on that for a lifetime.
Stuff's trash. It's all trash. Anyhow, he says in verse 9, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. So there's Solomon. He ended his life not the way he started. For God's sake, I sure don't want to finish different. I want to finish better than I started. And the real test of how I'm doing, we've got a grandbaby now, and his middle name's Maximus, and I love it. So that's all I call him. I'm not calling him by the rest of his names. And if my son don't like that, too bad. You know, amen. He knows his dad. I call him Little Max, and I mean, you know, but the real test is how he conducts business. I've said it here before. The test of her and me and how we've dealt with our kids is not my kids. No. Another generation. Let's see where the grandkids are at. And bless God, you can still raise a godly seed in America in 2021. It can be done, but you're going to have to, one divorce I'm against, is you're going to have to divorce public opinion.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have to divorce some family members in the sense of not letting them dictate what you're going to do with your youngins. Friends, cohorts, workers, you name it. God gave them kids to you. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full. Why are people not happy? I'll tell you why. Because they're not taking the time to teach them the word of God. Whip them. Train them. Whip them. Train them. Whip them. Whip them. Whip them. Correct them. Make them obey. Teach them when they're itty bitty. Okay, last of all, 1 Kings, I've got to stop. 1 Kings chapter 14, we're already there. 1 Kings chapter 11, David. It mentions David in both texts. When we read about Jeroboam, and then we read about his son Solomon, both places God brings David up in both accounts. He brings him up in 1 Kings 14:8, and he brings David up in 1 Kings 11:4. And it talks about how David kept his heart soft and pliable. My son, it says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart. With all diligence, it's a lifelong process. For out of it are the issues of life. And you young ladies got an uphill road. I haven't talked about it much yet, but if you're going to love God and stay in position, because you have to wait on a man to come by and pick you up. Amen. That's tough, but it ain't tough. It's only tough for young ladies that have gotten selfish.
And I don't know y'all's background, but I can't say it enough. You've got to stay in love with your daddy.
That daddy of yours, now mama. That's your daddy. That dad one day is going to, and I can't imagine doing this shit. I'm not ready for it. I'll do it because God tells me to with my daughter, and she's praying about some folks and stuff. Things are starting to tick and stuff. But I don't know about grace. I just cannot imagine having to give them away. But that's what I'm training for, okay? I want to live God. God take care of a man that's all over him. But you girls got to wait in a position of submission. It's something else. And so if you're not careful, you'll get put out with God because it ain't in your timing. And you'll just stay in love with God and marry the Lord. Amen. You'll be fine. You'll be just fine. But I got to close it out. But this is the last couple of verses. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. You know that. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Stuff we all know. Psalms 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. That's David talking there. Try me and know my thoughts. God, give it all to him daily. Keep a soft, clean, pure heart. A heart that is fully submitted to Jesus Christ will do whatever the Master says. And I'll close with this. Another one of these preachers from the 1600s, this is what he said. A woman's heart should be so hidden in Christ that a man must seek him first to find her. Well, it's good stuff. That should be for all of us. You got to go through Jesus Christ to find me. That's how it should be. Father, we love you today. Thank you for this place, Blessed Old Baptist Church. Thank you for these people. And God help them, Lord, to stay the course. The years are going to fly by. They have. I've seen things change, the buildings, the physicality. People come, people go. It's just life. But God help us. Help this core group to stick in there, stay the course no matter what comes their way, and stay in that book and stay humble before thy God. And Lord, bless these youngins. They bring kids in here from all walks of life. I pray the Holy Ghost of God arrest them. Just get a hold of them. Save them by the grace of God. And those that are saved, God, help them to stay submitted and humble before you, Father. You'll do something great with them one day. We sure do love you. Bless today in Christ's name. Amen.